The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
Here's the idea for the next 10 pods. We can do Paddy's little holiday review. 40 minutes of review.
Like Catherine Thomas here, no frontiers.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
The News Round on Off The Ball
with Gillette. Put your best face forward with our new and improved razors.
This is News Talk.
Hello, you're welcome along. So we have a great show on the way. Liverpool Man City held up its end of the bargain yesterday. Generally seems to deliver something a bit special. Great second half. Two men of the matches, for God's sake. We Phil Thompson on the way. Pat Nevin as well. Brian Kerr did the Spurs-Villa game for us yesterday. His thoughts on that to come and on Manchester United. Darren O'Neill, out of boxing 4 years, 36 years old, came back really on a whim to win the Cruiserweight National title over the weekend. Oldest national champion in history. So Darren on the way, 8:30. And then in rugby, a clean sweep for the Irish provinces. Pretty interesting games, not least at Thomond Park. Keane Tracy of the Irish Independent and Gordon Darcy on the way after 8 o'clock. 53106, the text number. We are at Off The Ball on Twitter. My two men of the match right here, Richie McCormick, hello.
Hi, you're too kind, Joe.
And Nathan Murphy, hello.
Hey, Joe.
Joint men of the match. What are we thinking about this, Nathan? It's a departure, I think, which was quickly trending on Twitter, which told me all I need to know.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, I would have taken it at the Emeralds on Friday night. Congrats.
Thanks, Mel. Well, you know what about awards, Nathan? They're very important.
Yeah.
What about this game? Foden, Salah, ridiculous. It generally does deliver this game.
Oh, almost always. I've been really fortunate. I think I've been at pretty much every one that a crowd has been at for the last 5 years, and it's sort of what I use as the standard when you watch all other club games, even international games, because of the quality that's been there. Right since, I remember a 1-1 draw, Adam Lallana scored a late goal, and I remember coming away from that match thinking, Liverpool had suddenly got to a whole other level of intensity that they could finally match Manchester City. And really, since then, we've had sensational goals. The ability that these players need to have, the technical ability to be able to come up with the moments of skill, the quality of the passing under the most insane of high presses of pressure is, I think, better than anything else in world football right now. And yesterday, the second half, because we sort of all forgot about the first half and how poor Liverpool were in that, but the second half was as good as anything they have produced. And for Mo Salah to be able to do that and to leave Bernardo Silva on his arse the way he did. Like, Bernardo Silva's going up against the best players in the world every day in training, who are trying everything and anything on him. Like, he's seen it all. He hadn't seen Mo Salah try that in a game of that importance. And then again, Aymeric Laporte, one of the best defenders in the world. Everyone's expecting him to do what Salah does. It's done so many times. Bend it in with his left boot. Takes it on his right. And at full stretch, to get that power in the shot as well. It is up there with one of the great Premier League goals. And, yeah, geez, if every match was like that.
Well, the finish alone, as you say, even if he had just controlled the ball, beaten nobody and finished that way, it would have been a great goal. So to beat four, Cancelo, you mentioned Silva, Laporte was hanging around, Ruben Dias was doing his best, and then the finish. I think a lot of us watching gave an involuntary scream. You know, it's just those rare moments in football where you've witnessed actual genius unfolding. So that was glorious. Also quite glorious, Richie, watching how angry Pep Guardiola was for a lot of this match. Pat Nevin was along on the football show after nine, and he was talking about a game of this calibre as well. And he said, if there is a weakness out there, these players sniff it out very quickly. It didn't take much sniffing to find your way to James Milner, and he really should have been sent off. Pep just lost the plot. Pep wasn't watching that game for about 10 minutes. He was just flipping out.
I think, to be honest, like, that right-hand side has been a weakness for Liverpool in terms of their defensive capabilities, and this isn't like a knock against Trent Alexander-Arnold in terms of the player that's going forward, but like, AC Milan exploited Trent Alexander-Arnold's almost as well as Manchester City exploited James Milner yesterday, and I don't think the two sides are in any way comparable in terms of quality. So there is an issue there for Jurgen Klopp to try and address.
I thought it was overstated against AC Milan. Matip was as at fault as Trent Alexander-Arnold was in that game.
Well, Trent Alexander-Arnold did give up possession fairly easily, I think, for at least one of the goals, and then was pretty poor tracking back for another. So it was an issue that was exploited twice by Milan in that game. And Liverpool have a habit of conceding two or more so far this season. I know Man City are kind of a special case in that they are possibly one of the two or three best sides in the Premier League, but they've done it against Milan, they've done it against Brentford, they've been shipping goals where they ordinarily shouldn't have been doing, and we'll take yesterday aside from that. But it does play into the fact that Liverpool defensively, I'm not going to say they're weak, but they are susceptible to being got at. But, you know, Guardiola's, I guess, yeah, remonstrations with Milner and whether or not he should have been sent off was quite another thing. There's a decent argument to say he could have done. It's nice that they got to share a moment afterwards, though, and had a real golf weekly moment, some might say, and sharing tips in their golf swing in the tournament straight after the match.
It was extraordinary, and Klopp gave an amazingly interesting breakdown of the tactics and what changed in the second half. I mean, it was very easy to watch it and say Liverpool lacked a bit of energy, but he broke it down thoroughly. In effect, he was blaming the defensive line for dragging the midfielders back and not letting them go and press City. We'll play that later on. So this game had loads going on. Pat Nevin on the way, Phil Thompson this hour. We've got Gordon Darcy and Keen Tracy on the way as well after 8 o'clock. One of the other great moments from the footballing weekend, Nathan, was Ronaldo storming off and Andros Townsend running after him to assure him it wasn't sarcastic. It was like a tribute to you. No, I love you. No, it wasn't a joke. I can see you're not in the mood for this explanation. Can I get your shirt? One of the great moments at Old Trafford. Ronaldo, though, is doing Solskjaer no favours storming off like that. He knows what the, you know, kind of conclusion of that will be. And now I suspect there's every chance he's just peeved because they've messed up in the game and he hasn't scored. And it's, you know, if he'd played the 90 minutes and was pretty happy with life generally, he might still have stormed off. But under the circumstances now hanging over Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, it doesn't help the cause too much. And Ronaldo doesn't seem to be bothered by that, I think.
I was like you, Joe. I thought I was quite naive when I saw the reactions from other people to Ronaldo. I thought he was just very annoyed that Manchester United had dropped 2 points. I didn't see it as an outrage that he hadn't started the game and really trying to undermine Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, yeah. But it certainly seems to have been taken that way. But that is the problem when you have a player of the stature of Cristiano Ronaldo. Everything is going to be analysed to death, particularly when you're playing like Manchester United played. And once again, every league game this season as well has been the exact same, where they're playing relatively mid-table, somewhat decent opposition, and are totally, totally dominated for large parts of the game in midfield and can be got at so easily, the gaps between the midfield and the defence. And Solskjaer doesn't seem to have any plan to fix it. The plan seems to be, I have so much attacking talent, one of them will surely deliver in every match. One of them will come up with some moment of magic that will save me. But Mike Phelan signed a new contract this evening, which has been seen as a backing again for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And if rumours are to be believed around Old Trafford, the Glazers are happy with Champions League football every season. And I expect Manchester United will get that. I still don't think they'll be that far away this season. We're going to know a lot once the international break finishes. They have a run of Leicester, Liverpool, Tottenham and Manchester City are their next four league games. So whether this system can work better against those sides, where maybe on the counter-attack, it'll play into Manchester United's hands quite possibly. But everything Ronaldo does is going to be scrutinised to within an inch of its life.
Yes, he's not unaware of this situation. Did you say Mike Phelan signed a new contract?
Oh yeah.
Mike Phelan, yes.
Right. I mean, I think they could probably deal with the severance if it came to it. I don't think Phelan will give them pause for thought. This isn't a Ronald Koeman situation.
No, it's not. It's not. But what I'm saying is it just shows that if they were planning on making an imminent change,
well, true.
You're not going to sign them up for no reason. But I think there's question marks about that entire Manchester United management team. There's sort of an assumption that because they have the likes of Michael Carrick, Kieran McKenna, that, you know, these are all good lads, that they must be able to pass on their pearls of wisdom. But they're very much unproven.
Yeah. Now, I'd love to know what Carrick thinks about the midfield. You know, it's exactly what they would need in there. So it's obviously not as easy as we all would like for him to pass it on to the next generation. I mean, I guess you could apply that to Roy Keane and the Ireland setup. As you said, it's Atalanta twice, Liverpool, Spurs and Leicester away, Man City. And that takes Solskjaer up to the next international window. So I think it's crunch time. I mean, Andy Minton was on last week and he was saying that the moderates are turning now on Solskjaer. So it just has that air at the moment of needing something, some kind of improvement. We'll get to all that. Richie, we should kick off the news round. It is, as ever, with thanks to Gillette. Put your best face forward with their new and improved razors. And you're starting with Jack O'Connor.
Yeah, he's going to be ratified as the new Kerry senior football manager tonight. His third term will see O'Connor assisted by former All-Ireland winning players Micheál Quirk and Dermot Murphy. However, all is not well, it seems, within the kingdom. Last week, outgoing manager Peter Keane claimed that O'Connor's appointment came against the wishes of a majority of the players. Furthermore, sources involved in the search have told OTB Sports that the decision to appoint O'Connor was made before the recruitment process was formally initiated. Meanwhile, Keane is not believed to have been given adequate time to put forward his case for a new term.
Yeah, pretty interesting. Look, I just think it's pretty apparent, Nathan, Peter Keane was not sacked because he was at the end of his 3 years, but they just weren't giving it to him again. They went out and got the man they wanted. And there was a piece yesterday in the Sunday Times, Michael Foley, I think, don't quote me on that, but it was listing off all of Peter or Jack O'Connor's various All-Ireland wins as a coach at various grades, and it's off the charts. The man is absolutely incredible. He just has an incredible CV. So I'm not surprised to hear what Richie's saying there. It does just seem like they went out and got their man, and you know, Peter King could do the best presentation and the players could want him, but their minds were made up.
Well, we've seen this in countless counties. Look at Mayo at the time. They went with Holmes and Kennelly, and Lee McHale and Kevin McStay were preparing themselves for their interview and basically found out that the job was already gone. That is quite often how county boards work. There's certain people there who have a huge amount of influence, and clearly Jack O'Connor was their man. And despite not really putting up any trees in Kildare, they look back at his underage successes, his senior inter-county success. And I think it really stagnated, it felt like, under Peter Keane under the last couple of seasons. It was unusual for a manager to come out with a statement like Peter Keane's, though, which does undermine Jack O'Connor, which is that the players wanted me. The players were ready to back me. Now, they'll all be asked about that over the course of the winter, no doubt. It'll be interesting to hear what they say. But this is and will always be how county boards work. So, yeah, it's controversial. And it just heaps a little bit more pressure on Jack O'Connor. But, hey, it's Kerry.
Yeah.
Got to win that All-Ireland.
And, like, the players thing, that doesn't last long. I mean, King is dead. Long live the King. They'll be pretty loyal to Jack O'Connor now, I would think, pretty quickly. That's just the way it goes, unfortunately, if you're a manager. Claudio is back in the Premier League.
Yeah, he is. Claudio Ranieri has been appointed the Watford manager, signing a 2-year contract for whatever that's worth at Vicarage Road. Ranieri's been out of work since June when his contract at Sampdoria wasn't renewed. Watford sacked Zisco Munoz yesterday after 20 months in charge. The Hornets are 15th in the Premier League table. They've just 2 wins to their name so far this season. And Ranieri's first game in charge will come against Liverpool after the international break.
Just the 13th permanent manager since 2012, Nathan?
It's only when you hear Claudio Ranieri's name and you start thinking about Leicester and how miraculous that was. Like, imagine if Watford won the league this season. Like, it's just not possible. It is just not possible for Watford to win the league this season. But Claudio Ranieri did that with Leicester. How did he do it? How did this happen? We were there. We saw it. I still can't quite understand how this was possible. So best of luck to Claudio. It's great to have him back. One of the all-time great Premier League moments. We're talking about one of the great goals. I still think him standing beside Andrea Bocelli when they were receiving the trophy is right up there. Well, every time it comes up in Premier League years, I think, oh, that is just magic.
Well, I was just going to say, if they do win the league, Watford, then I think it would only be right to get Bocelli back. Watford announced Ranieri as their new manager on Twitter by having the video of him standing beside Bocelli as the... I mean, they didn't like go and make their own video. They just took this right and put it out, you know? So So the Bocelli-Leicester thing... Twitter is a fairly cynical place, and there was scoffing aplenty as Bocelli walked out, and people were saying, well, this is just, you know, there's too many jokes here. This is too ridiculous. And I would say pretty quickly everybody was quite emotional and thought this was one of the great things.
It's as soon as you hear Ness and Dorma, as soon as anybody of a certain age hears Ness and Dorma, they are just weak. The exact same thing happened at the start of the Euros, and like everybody hates an opening ceremony. Like there's no point to the things whatsoever, and everybody rolls their eyes and goes, ah, sure, can we not get this over with? And I think he did, like it was Bocelli that came out and sang Ness and Dorma at the start of the Euros in Rome ahead of Italy's first game, and then everybody clasped their hands, rubbed them and said, yes, the Euros is on, I am fully up for this thing. That song has magical properties that I wish you could bottle, because it's just... it's like it's a miracle worker for cynical men and women absolutely everywhere.
Except Fionn Davenport, Nathan. I do remember him texting me and he was like, oh, people who like Bocelli. You know, it was real.
Fionn is of Italian blood, isn't he?
Yeah, he would know. He would
is
know.
Is this opera. Like the Fields of Athenry for Italian people? Like, oh my God, not this again.
From memory, he sang Time to Say Goodbye at the Leicester celebration as well, which again... you know, made no sense, but once it's happening.
Well, it was appropriate for Claudio in the end. Yeah. He sort of knew that was as good as it was ever going to get.
So he's back at Watford for, I don't know, do you give him, does he make the end of the season? I would say odds against.
I wouldn't. I really wouldn't bet on it. But he certainly adds something, I think, to the Premier League. I was thinking, talking about the end of the season, and like football is insane, and you go back a year and the amount of things that happen. Hmm. What odds, Joe, would you give me? And I want this clipped up, Joe, for the end of the season. What odds would you give me on Cristiano Ronaldo managing Manchester United before the end of the season?
Lord.
Managing Manchester, a la Ryan Giggs that time?
A la getting a nice run of maybe 10 games at the end of the season as manager.
Okay.
Give it Ronnie till end of the season.
Let's put it at 5 games or more, Ronnie, I will give you, I'd say I could tempt you with 50-1, could I?
Oof. Wow, I'll take €2 on that, Joe. Most definitely. Yeah.
Minimum stake €100. I want to see how much you fancy this. No, actually, I can't. just in case. Yeah. €2 it is.
You'll work that out quickly.
I don't think
it's the craziest shout.
Yeah, I'd say it's unlikely. But you do, as the weeks go on, you do wonder if Ronaldo is a bad presence there for Solskjaer. He's not going to tolerate, Ronaldo is not, as people have said, he is just not going to tolerate a wasted year or two at 36.
Well, United fans are obviously going to tolerate having Cristiano Ronaldo, but it will be fascinating to see how that run of fixtures goes between the two international breaks and how he fits into that team and what sort of impact he can have in the biggest of games. If he's a peripheral figure for long periods, can Manchester United work the ball up the pitch enough that actually they're creating enough chances against Liverpool and Manchester City that he can take advantage of them? Because otherwise he's just standing around doing nothing, which is fine when he pops up with a goal, but when he doesn't,
yeah,
that's where the issues start. Well,
against Villarreal it was comical how little he was doing. You know, you had to take him off, but then you couldn't take him off, and that's the predicament. And he delivered, obviously, in fairness to him that night. Jason Quigley, we should definitely mention, Richie.
Absolutely, yeah. He's going to fight for a WBO title next month. The Donegal middleweight faces reigning champion Demetrius Andrade in New Hampshire on November the 19th. The fight will be Andrade's 5th defence of a belt, which was previously worn by Steve Collins and Andy Lee. And Quigley says the world title opportunity is more than just the realisation of a dream.
Kind of saying, look, this is a dream, this is why you started the sport, this is everything you do from a kid, dreaming about it, watching it on the TV. But, you know, putting all that there aside, what does this mean for me? This is my job, you know, this is what I do, this is what I love to do. I get into the ring and I want to become the best in the world, and, you know, this is my opportunity to be that. Now, taking dreams and taking notions as a kid when you're younger, putting all that aside, this is just me reaping the rewards of the hard work that I have put in my career, the discipline that I have put in, the patience that I have put in throughout my career, and it's time now for me to go and collect what I deserve, what I've put the hard work in for, and I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to get in that ring. Everything in the lead up to this fight is going to be ruthless, it's going to be relentless, and that's not going to change as soon as we get into the ring. But that world title is coming back to Ireland, and that's full stop.
Yeah, it's a huge opportunity for him, obviously, so you suspect he'll try and grasp it with both hands. Nicholas Roach, meanwhile, at the other end of his career.
Yeah, he's announced his retirement from cycling. The 37-year-old's last outing was in yesterday's National Road Race Championships in Wicklow. He decided in August, he said in a statement, that he will be retiring. Now, Roach had a pair of top 10 finishes in the Vuelta a España on general classification, and he was twice a stage winner in the Grand Tour in Spain as well.
Okay, where are we going next?
The ATP, it's investigating high-profile allegations of domestic abuse made by the former girlfriend of Olympic tennis champion Alexander Zverev. Last October, former junior player Olga Sharipova publicly accused the world number 4 of a series of serious assaults, to which he issued a blanket denial. The ATP's chief executive, Massimo Cavelli, says the allegations raised are serious and we have a responsibility to address them.
And do you know, Richie, is there a criminal investigation as well, or what's going on there?
I don't think there is at the moment, no. There were, like, the allegations outlined by Olga Sharipova were pretty serious. They're a pretty grim read. It was a piece by Ben Rosenberg who put them out there at the minute. And this is ultimately where the ATP's investigation is going to be finding difficulty, because they say in it that they need to find proof that these allegations were real or not. and the fact that there is so far no legal basis to show that is going to be working against them. But like fairly serious things to be handing over or hanging over the head of Alexander Zverev. I know he's denied it, but it's an issue that was raised by Andy Murray both at Wimbledon and then last week as well. He said it's something that the ATP needed to address, and they're after bringing, you know, on a, as a sideline to this, after bringing their own code of conduct in as relates to domestic abuse. So at least, at last, the ATP seem to be taking some steps to tackle this.
Okay. So, Kildare Football, another star name added to this backroom team.
Yeah, sure, why not? Let's get them all in there. Newly appointed Kildare Football manager Glenn Ryan, adding another all-star to his management team. Brian Lacey is now going to be part of that Lily White's backroom team. He was an all-star himself in 1998 and joins Dermot Early, Anthony Rainbow and Johnny Doyle as the new setup working under Glenn Ryan, who was appointed there on Friday.
I mean,
who's left?
Glenn Ryan, Dermot Early, Johnny Doyle, Anthony Rainbow, now Brian Lacey. There'll be enthusiasm, put it that way, Nathan.
They might do the Glenn Hoddle and bring the entire 98 team back together to challenge the new crop.
Yeah.
See what they're up to.
I mean, when I say enthusiasm, I mean from Kildare football supporters. Like, they're going to just go gaga for this. This is like, talk about a quick way to get everybody very excited, very invested. There'll be a huge attendance at the first game. I mean, this is just going to be box office stuff. Jack who, they say?
Yeah, it's completely anti everything that has gone on for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
It is exciting, and listen, everyone wants Kildare, Meath, to strengthen, to get better, to give us something in Leinster or whatever sort of championship we have next year.
Stephen O'Keefe, Rich.
Yeah, the former Waterford All-Star goalkeeper won't be returning to the Intercounty fold. The 30-year-old said yesterday that that chapter of his career was at an end. O'Keefe was speaking after winning another championship title with his club, Ballygunner, following their win over Roan Moore. And a joint statement from a number of governing bodies involved in women's football says a biennial World Cup will have a profoundly detrimental impact. UEFA and the European Clubs Association are among the groups who say holding a tournament every 2 years will fundamentally alter the course and development of women's football. FIFA have proposed to hold football's biggest international tournament more regularly. That's not just the men's, of course, that is the women's too.
There's a text in, Nathan, wondering how far off Mo Salah is in your all-time Premier League starting 11. You can go 4-4-2 or 4-3-3, the listener kindly allows.
Well, your front two is always, is it always Henry and Shearer, but maybe Bergkamp in and around it, but obviously the modern game plays three up front more often. Maybe Sergio Aguero's there. I think if he was to guide Liverpool to another title this season, he's definitely in the mix. Maybe a little bit too early, but he's done nothing wrong. I think he is the outstanding player in the Premier League right now, and has been for the last couple of seasons, and may well be the outstanding player in world football right now. He's just, like, genius is the only word to describe him, the way the type of goals he scored. I went through it on Twitter last night. The quality of goals he scores in big games is second to none in the Premier League. It doesn't matter who the opposition is. Like, long range strikes against Chelsea, that little spot in the pitch he likes, away from the cop down at the Anfield Road end, over on the right hand side of the area, like 3-4 goals where he's just wiggled his way through in an impossible situation. So is he in the all time Premier League team? Maybe not just yet.
No,
but
it's a hard
another
to
season
into. Is Ronaldo in it? Like, he was obviously great in his last year or two, but he didn't do his best work in the Premier League. So for me,
it's a bit like Suarez, tricky in a way, Ronaldo, in that, like, Suarez may have put together the best individual season, himself and Ronaldo maybe the two best individual seasons we've seen in the Premier League.
Yeah,
but is that enough to get you in the all-time team?
Henry, if you just happen to, Henry is first name down for me there in the forwards, because what he did at his best was just outrageous. You sort of have to put Shearer in, don't you?
Well, like, I think it was John Giles who was saying, like, one of the problems with Shearer is he scored an awful lot of goals in games that didn't matter. Yeah. Yes, he won the league at Blackburn and obviously was huge and kept Newcastle in contention. But he would often say that true greatness, he should have gone to Manchester United, where you have to do it in that final 3 months of the season, every season.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be a hard argument to make, but I think if I had to take one of Shearer or Henry out, probably take out Shearer. Doesn't mean he's not the greatest.
Henry number one,
greatest goals.
Well, he was grand.
Yeah,
he did okay.
Like, the record's phenomenal and everything. But if you're talking like a one-off game that you had to play with your life depending on it, with Ronaldo as manager, of course, then you know.
Well, the other thing is, if you're going 4-3-3 all of a sudden, then to squeeze in a Mo Salah type of the more modern vintage, like, then are you only having one of Keane or Vieira?
Yeah.
You're certainly not having Keane, Vieira and Scholes in there.
Is Gerrard not in?
I would never have Gerrard in my all-time Premier League team.
Pat Nevin, who I would generally trust above most, has Gerrard as the best midfielder in Premier League history.
I remember having this conversation with Ronnie Whelan, and he was of the exact same opinion.
Yeah.
And Ronnie Whelan obviously knows his midfielders, and in fact I think would say was Liverpool's greatest midfielder of all time. So people who have played the game seem to have an unbelievable respect for Steven Gerrard.
I think we have a touch of bias against Gerrard because we're all very loyal to Keane.
He didn't win a league. He didn't win a league.
I wouldn't have Gerrard in there.
You wouldn't have Gerrard in there?
I still wouldn't have him as Liverpool's best midfielder. I'd have Souness above him.
But how much of Souness did you see week in, week out? We can't be making the case for Souness.
Let's get rid of Pelé. Pelé's rubbish. I didn't see enough.
You have to go with our frame of reference here. And Souness wasn't in the Premier League, so we can't make your Premier League team of the year.
Oh God, I forgot what that
1992, my friend.
Yeah. What was it we said last week, that 1992 has no relevance in the modern day either?
I'd find it very hard to leave Gerrard out, I have to say.
You'd probably play him on the right-hand side, though, would you?
Well, I mean, shift things around. I mean, I'd have Keane as well, but then you're leaving out Vieira. I'd have Keane ahead of Vieira, I think. Anyway, this is a discussion for another night. Sorry.
This is a discussion for every night.
Yeah. I don't want to go down this route because we will be here all night. So do you want to give us a last story or two, Rich, and we'll wrap up?
Yeah, Jacob Stockdale and Rob Little remain doubtful ahead of Ulster's URC meeting with Benetton on Friday. They're recovering from respective ankle and back problems. They weren't involved last Friday. Stuart McCloskey remains out with a hamstring injury, and Jordy Murphy is recovering from another training ground injury. While former Ireland back row Alan Quinlan has praised Keane Healy's switch to tight end prop, Healy, who turns 34 later this week, came off the bench and onto the tight end position in yesterday's narrow URC win over the Dragons. And speaking on this morning's OTB AM, Quinlan says the switch shows Healy quality.
I just thought he came on yesterday, first scrum he had, he gets a penalty, Leinster marched the Dragons backwards, right, okay, you got to look at the quality opposition, can he do that for Ireland if he comes on or starts as a tight head? But he's the kind of fella that, if you know what I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he'd be willing to do this and would be able to make a fist of it, because there is a big difference from going to loose head to tight head. He's such a freak in nature as regards the conditioning and the strength and the power that he has. And it's up to himself, obviously, the way he looks after himself and wants to keep going. But for him to move over tight head, as I said, I think he could make a real fist and go of this. It's definitely an option of prolonging his career here. But we've got to see more of it, Jerry. You can't just do it against the Dragons away and do it in some URC games. It's probably when it steps up to European level and international level, can he do it there? And as I said, it wouldn't surprise me if he can, but it would give him an option of probably prolonging the career a bit, because it's very true what you say. You know, we expect loose heads to be dynamic and carrying the ball a lot and, you know, being around the field a lot more. And this is an option for him that may prolong his career.
Yeah, that full chat with Quinny and Jaron Owen worth a listen on the OTB Sports app. It's in your app store. It's free. It's waiting for you. Just search OTB Sports and you'll get it. The lads obviously coming at you 7:30 every morning. Nathan Murphy, we're out of time. Thank you.
Cheers, Joe.
Richie McCormack, thank you.
Justice for Souness.